Welcome to Inside Games, the only gaming news show brave enough to tell you that, yeah, PlayStation's unstoppable in 2023.
Yeah, which is super weird considering how desperately Sony is fighting Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard.
It's a tale of two Sonys out there. To investors, it's the best of times, and to regulators, the worst of times.
Either way, the math don't lie, and the PlayStation 5 has just been killing it with the one audience that matters most, the gamers.
People who play video games, Lawrence, the don't gamers. Say gamers. Variety published some interesting stats from the 2022 holiday shopping season that shows just how firm a paddling the PlayStation 5 is serving to Xbox in terms of sales.
Revenue from hardware sales more than doubled year over year, up from just under $1.5 billion to more than $3.2 billion.
So, more than double in this economy, Lawrence?
How can it be done? People still got money to give, it seems. So what's the reason behind this sales boom, you ask? Well, it's due in large part to Sony resolving its semiconductor chip shortages and shipping a record number of PlayStation 5s. 7.1 million. That's in the fourth quarter of 2022. That's compared to the 4.5 million they shipped for the PS5's launch back in 2020.
Whew. The semiconductor shortage has been going on for a while now, and it's affected tons of industries, as I'm sure we all know. And obviously video games has been, well, one of them, by and large. But Sony's supply chain is finally eased up, and the PS5 is becoming easier to get hold of for consumers.
PlayStation boss Jim Ryan told an audience at the PlayStation Partner Awards in December that Sony had finally resolved the issue of PS5 shortages that month. And because more people are now able to get a PS5, they're also able to buy more games on the PS5.
Oh, but it's perfect for Sony. It's just a 1-2 punch. Console sales go up. Game sales go up, especially exclusives like God of War Ragnarok that just came out and obviously sold a ton.
Sony software sales went up more than 30% for the quarter. They also saw a nearly 20% increase in revenue for network services as well. That's for subscription services like PlayStation Plus.
Overall revenue for Sony Group's game and network services segment was up huge, a whopping 53% year over year from the same holiday quarter in 2021. That's insane.
PS5 is picking up momentum in a lot of it. And guess what? It gets even better for PlayStation. But first, I'll take a second to hear from today's sponsor, Star Trek Fleet Command.
Inside Games is sponsored by Star Trek Fleet Command. Star Trek Fleet Command is a free-to-play, open-world MMO game in which you command a starbase on the front lines of the Star Trek universe. Construct fleets of your favorite ships, recruit legendary officers to crew them, and pursue your goals of expanding territory, exterminating rivals, exploiting resources, and exploring strange new worlds. The Borg assimilation has begun. The Borg are back in new missions inspired by their iconic appearances in Star Trek The Next Generation. Join fan favorite Hugh the Borg and help him stop a scientist's quest for revenge against the collective. Save an eager Packlid from himself as he tries to get the Borg to assimilate him on purpose. And prevent the Borg from assimilating the technology behind your AI assistant, Maya. And now they're introducing Fleet Commanders. This is a new feature to Star Trek Fleet Command that allows players to assign well-known Star Trek heroes and villains to oversee strategy from their starbases for increased power and effectiveness in the game. Fleet Commanders launches with three choices: Admiral James T. Kirk, Captain Spock, or Locutus of Borg. And you can build the Command Center, a new starbase location from which to manage your fleet commanders. You can click the link in our description to download Star Trek Fleet Command for free right now. Or, of course, this QR code has been on the screen the entire time. Scan that, download it, play for free right now. It's really fun. I played a ton of it. Thank you, Star Trek Fleet Command. All right, back to the story. Sony's making loads of money. It doesn't look like that'll change anytime soon.
Sony actually raised its sales forecast for the PlayStation 5, projecting that it will sell 19 million units in the fiscal year that ended this month. And Sony's chief financial officer, Hiroki Totoki, told investors last month that momentum for building out the PS5 ecosystem is growing. So Sony obviously ended 2022 on a very high point.
We also know that as of the end of 2022, they've sold 32 million PlayStation 5s compared to, I mean, Microsoft really doesn't release console sales anymore, but there's an estimate that says they've sold about 20 million Xbox Series X and S consoles.
And that's all been with no game. PS5 got no games, right? Well, I mean, they're about to hit. God of War Ragnarok was big, but we're starting to get the big boys now. Final Fantasy 16 is coming up, and Sony's got to be hoping that that's going to move some consoles.
Yeah, the game's director, Naoki Yoshida, even jokingly suggested that PC players looking forward to the game should just buy a PlayStation 5. In response to a widely held assumption that the game would launch on PC in late 2023.
Yeah, the franchise has moved PlayStations for a while. Way back in the day, Final Fantasy VII released exclusively on the PlayStation 1 and was credited with boosting sales of the original console. The remake was the fastest-selling PS4 exclusive when it launched in April 2020.
We're not saying that Final Fantasy 16 will have the same impact, really, but it's still a massive exclusive that Sony has, and we'll probably move a few consoles.
Which, is again, a little bit funny, a little bit weird, considering how much Sony's railed against exclusives, at least when talking to regulators again about the Microsoft Activision Blizzard deal. So yeah, there's those two Sonys again. It seems like they can be your devil or your angle.
Nice meme. Further down the line, they've got even bigger guns coming out. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And then, of course, Marvel's Spider-Man 2. That's the biggest heavyweight I think they've got this year, probably, right?
Absolutely. Last of Us has a lot of buzz right now, but Marvel's Spider-Man sold like crazy. It's one of PlayStation's best-selling games. The game sold 33 million copies as of June 2022, and that's thanks to being across some platforms, PS4, PS5, and PC.
Overall, it looks like the PlayStation 5 is continuing to follow the path set by the PlayStation 4. So big exclusives leading to strong sales, which then get reinvested into bigger exclusives and studio acquisitions. And considering the PlayStation 4 is one of the best-selling consoles of all time, looks like that strategy is paying off yet again. They really, honestly, are just not failing here.
It's up and up and up. So much so that they've achieved the impossible. They actually knocked the Switch off the top spot when it comes to console sales. Only in a few countries, though.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about these things, but the Switch has just been outselling everything.
Until now, yeah. In Japan, the PlayStation 5 grabbed the top spot for consoles in February with sales up more than 450% year over year. Again, pretty clear evidence the supply chain issues have obviously cleared up because it's taking over the Switch, which is wild.
Twitter user GenkiJPN also noticed that the PS5 sold more units in February than in the first quarter of 2022. Like, all of it.
Jeez, that's in more than in 1 month than in 3 months. What? Man. In the UK, PlayStation 5 sales in February were up more than 300% compared to last year, thanks in part to the release of Hogwarts Legacy. And we've also seen increases in the sales of The Last of Us, thanks to the popularity of the television series on HBO.
And that's about to come out on PC as well, at least part one, the remake. Yeah, it was kind of interesting looking at the relative sales of franchises that are on PC and ones that aren't. Marvel Spider-Man was at over 30 million, whereas God of War Ragnarok and Last of Us were kind of around 10.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Being on PC can bring a lot of business and a lot of brand awareness and a lot of money.
So while Sony has been acting like it's on its last legs. Please, regulators.
Government, please.
Can I have some more? Some more? Because they're trying to block that Microsoft Activision Blizzard acquisition, just like Jim Ryan would say. I just want to block that acquisition. In reality, they really are in their usual position that they have been in for years, the very top.
Quick postscript on this story. Sony launched the PlayStation VR 2 in the current fiscal quarter, which they should be publishing results on around the end of May. So Sony can push hardware. We'll see if they can push VR. I'm really curious about that. But here's a question. Here's a question for everybody, given that Sony is, it seems like they're teeing up for like PlayStation 2 level success. What do we think that runaway success is going to look like for Sony? What do you think, Bruce? If the PS5 becomes the dominant console, what will that do to our games?
I mean, at this point, the PS5 is basically the dominant console, other than the Switch. I mean, the Switch is, you know, everyone sort of just, I mean, they just throw it out because, like they did for the regulators in the in the actual court cases. But yeah, it's at this point, it's on top, and it's been for years and years and years. So I think we're going to continue to see that strategy play out, which is they make those exclusives and then they turn those exclusives into movies, television shows, other merchandising opportunities. And then, like we'd said before, just buy other studios up and continue making those big, prestigious games. I don't necessarily know if I like that strategy, but it's working for them very, very well. So I can't fault them. They're selling a ton. I'm kind of tired of it. And honestly, too, another thing, this is just my little prediction. If they keep doing that, I think it's going to get old. I think people are going to be like, all right, well, I've had enough of The Last of Us, or I've had enough of, you know, whatever other prestigious game. I don't want to buy these anymore. I'd like to see something different from Sony. But I think that's like 5 years down the line. I still think they've got a lot of runway to just kind of do what they want.
Yeah, I agree. I agree entirely. I think this level of success means that Sony is disinterested and on some degree should not be paying attention to projects that are below that level of grandiose. So yeah, if a studio is going to launch a game, it had better be connected to a brand or starting a new one. And if it's starting a new one, it's got to like have a base wide enough to be a whole franchise. So yeah, I don't think, like, I couldn't see Sony now making a game like Hellblade, even though technically Xbox, you know, it is a whole thing, but like, right. I don't think that game will happen anymore. Or maybe it will, but just on VR. Maybe that's what VR is for the test bed for ideas and gameplay that they don't want to build into a film franchise someday. So yeah, I don't know. They used to have pretty strong indies, right? Really quirky stuff. I always think of like Unfinished Swan, Flower, games like that they would kind of carry on their indie label. They don't really do that anymore. They don't publish those games anymore. Again, it might be what VR is for. Returnal was like the last premium new thing they made. I could be wrong about that. But they bought Housemarque since then. So to me, the tale of the future of Sony is going to be, what does Housemarque do from here? Because if they only do ports and middleware, which is, I feel like, what they might do, that's a Sony that I'm not super interested in their output. But if they get to keep making weird games, that's awesome, and I hope they do. So I hope there's a place in Sony's portfolio for that.
Sony's doing a weird thing where they're making us feel like the games they release are like indie art games, but they're not. They've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on them, and they're making us feel like they're like these like little tiny guys, but they're really not. And so it's a weird little, it's not a bait and switch, but I don't necessarily like that, because like you said, then we've talked about this before, they're throwing out that whole middle section of video games. There's either the really cheap indies or the really expensive video games. All the middle ones are going to Game Pass, and they're all going to eventually just kind of live on Xbox's platform. And maybe that's what Microsoft wants and Sony wants, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, ideally, everything finds its niche. And if that's how the niche is settled out, then that's great. If PS5 is where I go for the Marvel tier, hyper-produced, ties into everything, fan service-y, like kind of shallow story experience kind of games, that's fine. I don't mind getting Michael Bay'd with particles every so often. And if Game Pass is where all the like high risk, low investment, like low bet kind of games go, that's a really cool way to experience those games too. Because from a consumer, my risks are low. I just download it, try it, and move on if it's not really hooking. So that makes sense from a consumer perspective. That's a good way for things to shake out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Also, I want to make sure that we all know that there is only one winning team on here. It's not PlayStation. It's not Xbox. It's Team PC. PC always wins, Lawrence. We all know that.
That's true.
And these Patreon supporters, they picked Team PC. Raulo, Ray Pichardo, Keita White, Dan Halloran, and Mark Fletcher. You picked the right one.
Bruce, there's one more tier above PC, believe it or not.
What?
The real winning side of all. Yes, it's the Inside Games Patreon itself. That's when you've ascended to the highest tier, like my patrons. Eddie the Dog, Xander, Dougal Tutbo, Lenny Neves, and Tito 007. How's the air up there?
Kevin Bacon, the air up there.